This is Rock the Flock. Rock the Flock is a pre-recorded message by Pastor Tim Dodson of Jesus Fellowship of Believers in Menominee, Wisconsin. Join us as we go verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through God's Word.
And a good evening, gang. Let's turn to the book Habakkuk. You were just there this morning in your devotions. Turn back. Habakkuk. I know we've taught through this three or four times already, but in my dreams. Habakkuk. And let's just go together to the Lord, shall we? Father, we come before you now as a family of God. We are, for whatever reason, you have so designed a family that you've called to be here. We unite together in prayer now, Lord, for the needs of this church, to the needs of this body. We lift up the missions work in India and in the Philippines, where it's going on full blast, both sides. And we have teams selected and preparing to make both of those trips. And again, we lift them up and ask that you prepare them and prepare the way, that you deal with all the activities that need to be dealt with before we get there, that you grow us, stretch us, that you continue to direct this fellowship here in Menominee, Wisconsin, that we are obedient to what you have for us as a group, us individually, that we continue to fight the battle, Lord, while there is yet time. And we love you, and may your Spirit be upon us this evening. These things we pray. Amen. Book of Habakkuk. Now, certainly, and you probably could readily say amen to this, when it comes to anonymity, I guess Habakkuk pretty much rules. If you say, well, you know, I haven't studied Habakkuk a whole lot, well, when you start to study it, one of the things you're going to find out right off the bat is we don't know who this guy is. We don't know anything more than what we can get out of this letter. We don't know who he is. We don't know where he came from. We don't know even for sure. We have a kind of a window, but we don't know for sure even when he lived and wrote. But we do know one thing, this letter. And I think that that's significant, and that's what we're going to concentrate on here, because, you know, many of the Old Testament writers, as we have gone through them, they've had kind of this reoccurring interesting theme, and that is, especially the minor prophets, and that is that they seem to be far less concerned about being remembered and far more concerned with delivering their message. Oftentimes, these guys kind of approach the calling of God like they were carrying a hot potato. I mean, they just had a message, and they were going to deliver it. They were adamant, but they were oftentimes seemingly almost like in a hurry about unloading their message and going back to the life that they knew before. Because a lot of these guys, and I think we can kind of assume by the quantity that we have from Habakkuk here, along with some of the other minor prophets that we've recently gone through, a lot of these guys were anything but lifelong professional prophets. It seems that many of them were kind of called out of their day jobs, if you will, for a brief period of intensive ministry. I would liken it, I think, to a missions trip of sorts. They got called out, took some time away from their work, and answered the call of God, and spent an intensive period of time delivering the message of which God had called them. Now, no doubt they were never the same after that, because certainly anyone who's taken even a short-term missions trip around here can attest to the fact you're never quite the same. Now, as we open the book of Habakkuk here, we kind of, after the last book we went through here, we kind of get back onto this common theme, which in throughout the minor prophets is God's judgment against his chosen people. That judgment was based on a history, and I emphasize that because this wasn't a snap judgment by any means. It was based on a history of their idolatry, their hard-heartedness, and ultimately their pride. And even more so, interestingly enough, the judgment that was coming down upon Israel wasn't so much even for the sins that I just mentioned, though the list is long, But even more so, it was for the fact that they wouldn't repent of those actions once God brought all this into the light. If you notice, there's the same kind of action, the same theme all the way through. That God said, look, you got some issues. And he named them, he clarified them, he sent prophets to point them out, and he called them on it again and again and again. So ultimately, the judgment and the justice, and yes, the punishment that's being meted out here, is coming down upon Israel because they wouldn't turn back from what they were involved in. I know, we can hardly even imagine that kind of a mentality, huh? Now, if you have walked with God for any amount of time, you know that God, both then and now, is very patient and very gracious. So it was not so much Israel's sin that was bringing about this pain and punishment. It was more their refusal to come out of that sin. And that's the thing I want to bring home on this book of Habakkuk. With that sin, both then and now, there is a great cost. It's like a cancer. And it just starts to eat away and consuming more and more of your soul and of your life and of your joy and of your marriage and every other aspect because you refuse to turn away from those issues. Ultimately, it'll claim your life. There, I think, is no sin as great as the sin of this kind of transgression. And what that is, really, in a nutshell, is just kind of getting right up in God's face like a child and screaming in a tantrum, no, no, I won't do it. And so what happens when a child does that? Well, if you're doing things right, that child gets spanked. That's exactly what was going to happen to Israel. Except that's probably too light of an approach, saying they're going to get spanked, because we know, as we've been going through these Old Testament books, that many people died for their insolence, for the fact that they just refused to listen to God, refused to come out. Now, if you're involved in a sin today, a life bondage sin, and you know it, God's convicting you of it, and he's prodding your heart, and you keep telling him, no, no, no. You know, God is so patient, but I'm telling you, he's not ignoring your sin. And he's going to start turning, cranking harder and harder, chipping away at the life that you know of. And I can't guarantee you that all of that, you know, is going to be put back the same. Now, God is so wonderful, and he definitely redeems the days. And many of us can attest to that. Many of us can say amen to the fact that God has restored us. But there is also something to look back and say, you know, I wasted a lot of time. I lost a lot of good years through my own rebellion and my own pride. So let's get into this. Verse 1, chapter 1, he says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you, violence! And you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity? Cause me to see trouble. For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I read this, and like often is going through these minor prophets, it's rather flowery, it's rather poetic, but it could have been written yesterday, couldn't it? I mean, this is somebody who just sat down and read a copy of the New York Times. Habakkuk, as we go through this, and I want you to notice that he has some traits that just aren't found anywhere else. Now, one of the things is he does what no other prophet does, and that is he asks God some questions. If you can, I mean, maybe even ask isn't the right vernacular. He expresses his doubts, he expresses his concerns. He expresses his lack of understanding before God, and he goes to God. Now, if any other prophet that we've recently read felt the way Habakkuk did, they kept it to themselves. They didn't ask that kind of questions. But Habakkuk wanted to know what, and even more so, he wanted to know why. Now, God was, as he often is, he was patient. He was merciful. He didn't toast Habakkuk for asking him. You know, there was no lightning bolts recorded here. In fact, he answers him quite truthfully and openly. As Habakkuk begins here, like I say, the speech is kind of flowery, even in New King James. But what is happening here is he's beginning with a couple of very impassioned prayers.